Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 20th of December 2011 here in Japan and still the 19th back in the United States, where I'm joined on the line by Justin Burke, the managing editor of Eurasianet.org. So, Justin Burke, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start by talking a little bit about Eurasianet for people who have not seen this website before. Can you tell us what this website is, how it came together, and what exactly it is that you cover there?
Eurasianet is a daily news website that is funded by the Open Society Institute here in New York City. And the Open Society Institute is funded by George Soros. But we are a nonpartisan website. We do not have any mandate except to cover the regions of Central Asia and the Caucasus, two areas of the former Soviet Union. And our mandate is to cover the economic, political, and social developments in these two areas. Two very important areas strategically due to energy radical Islam and several other factors. But these two areas also are not generally well covered by mass media. And that's our objective, to cover some of the cracks in coverage that mainstream media misses out on.
Indeed. Well, certainly you do keep a very close eye on so many issues in the region and in the area. So I would recommend that people go to Eurasianet.org to check out some of the stories that you cover on a daily basis. But I'd like to talk specifically today about the country of Kyrgyzstan, and specifically the Manas Air Base, or the transit facility as it's known these days, and how that's been so influential in shaping the politics of the region. And there are a number of different indications of that. And again, I would suggest that people start at Eurasianet.org and just type in Manas into the search engine to find out some examples of that. But perhaps you can tell us a little bit of the history of the Manas Air Base and why it is so important for the U.S. and for other players in the region.
Well, Manas is a hub for U.S. personnel and, to a certain extent, equipment heading into and out of to Afghanistan. So it's a vital cog in the supply line for the Afghan war effort. And it all came about 10 years ago. After the 9/11 tragedy, the United States needed staging areas that they could supply American troops on a blitz of Afghanistan, and NATO, I must add. So the Manas base is conveniently located. It serves also as a refueling hub. So tankers fly out of Manas, and then fighters and other planes operating in Afghanistan can easily get refueled. What happened is that Kyrgyz leaders back in 2001 entered into a relationship and made a portion of what was a civilian airfield available for U.S. military personnel. So at one end of Manas, there still is a civilian airport that serves the capital of Kyrgyzstan, which is Bishkek. And then the U.S. base and NATO personnel also serve there is at another end of the base. And it has served as a transit center for U.S. personnel and other operations since late 2001.
It certainly has, but of course it has become a point of contention with local Kyrgyz and also just generally in the region, the way it's been handled. And it's become quite a political football in Kyrgyzstan in recent years, with numerous attempts to, or at least threats, that that Manas will be closed down or at least closed to U.S. forces. What can you tell us about the back and forth that's been on this issue and why it is such a point of contention in the area?
I think one thing you need to know is that Central Asia as a whole is one of the most corrupt areas of the world. the countries of there are five countries in Central Asia, not including Afghanistan. Afghanistan can also be grouped into Central Asia, but the five formerly Soviet republics of Central Asia are consistently ranked as some of the most corrupt countries in the world these days. And ultimately, a lot of this, unfortunately, boils down to corruption. The payments made by the United States, unfortunately, came to be associated with corruption. As a matter of fact, there was a revolution in Kyrgyzstan in April of 2010, and the presidential family that was ousted, the Bakiyevs, were suspected of having illicit deals tied with the Manas operations. And now, these, I must emphasize, were never proven, but they were serious enough that the U.S. Congress launched an investigation into Pentagon contracting practices at the base. While it found no evidence of wrongdoing, it did find that some shady business was going on, and that there was a lack of oversight in how the contracting processes worked. Now, also, you have to take into account that Russia, under Vladimir Putin, the past and probably future president of Russia, has been a jealous power and still considers itself the regional overlord of Central Asia, even though its economic influence has receded somewhat. Now, that means Russia has never been anxious to see the United States military have any toehold in the region, and has consistently pressured the Kyrgyz government, which suffers from chronic budgetary problems. Russia, the Kremlin, has consistently pressured Kyrgyzstan to kick the Americans out, and has offered monetary incentives for the Kyrgyz government to do so. But so far, the Kyrgyz government has kept its options open. And in a couple of years ago, it even got the U.S. government to up its lease payments. So there's a certain element of backroom deals that we don't really know what's going on there.
We certainly don't, but there are a number of interesting articles coming out pretty much on a monthly basis at EurasiaNet on this subject. So once again, I would urge people to go there and read through some of the history of these dealings, at least as they appear on the surface. But of course, there have been persistent allegations over the years that Manas has been a facility for the shipping of drugs out of Afghanistan. What can you say about those allegations?
Thoroughly unproven. And that I, when it comes to narcotics trafficking, it's definite that narcotics trafficking is taking place. Afghanistan is one of the, if not the world's largest producer of poppy-related opiates, and therefore it's a heroin production center. The routes being taken are not really clear. There's a lot of corruption, that is for sure. I personally have not really heard anything about Manas being involved in that, at least the U.S. military base.
Well, the allegations have certainly been there for a long time, as they have been as well in Kyrgyzstan generally with the so-called Tulip Revolution of 2005. Of course, there's been the allegation of Western political involvement in that, involving Freedom House and, of course, George Soros as well. What would you like to say about those allegations?
Those allegations are wishful thinking on the parts of people who are opposed to the advent of civil society in that part of the region, I would say. That's not, I know it's a, basically it's a canard. It's something that there are people with vested interests in the region that it's easy to blame those, cite those factors as the region, the reason for events such as the Tulip Revolution. But ultimately, it comes down to these kinds of political developments come down to the fact that the governments in the region are not responsive to the needs of their populations. They get into power, and then it becomes a money-making operation. For the presidential family and their close friends and relatives. And the infrastructure of the country is left to rot. And this is a pattern that has happened, unfortunately, in too many countries in the region. And when governments in the region experience these kind of problems, that is really probably the number one cause. People have lived for too long without redress to their complaints. They don't have enough heating. They don't have enough electricity. The educational infrastructure has completely collapsed. And in some countries like Turkmenistan, the healthcare infrastructure has collapsed. So you really want to look for the reasons why populations say enough and rise up. You really have to look no further to the performance of the governments themselves and the responsiveness to the myriad social issues.
Well, then, looking forward, obviously, no one has the crystal ball, but how do you imagine that this this Manas issue is likely to play out, given the way that it's developed so far? And what would be the consequences if, for example, the base was shut down from U.S. use?
Well, as you know, the United States military is supposed to be pulling out of Afghanistan by 2014. Now, that's I'd be kind of surprised if that's actually the case. There will probably be some U.S. I wouldn't be surprised, let's put it that way, if there was some sort of U.S. military presence in Afghanistan beyond that. And if that's the case, then there would probably be some sort of need for some sort of American military presence at Manas. It'll all, I think, come down to money. How much is the United States willing to pay for leasing rights at the base? That's really what has been the determining factor in the past. I would expect it to continue to be the determining factor. Russia will never want the United States there. However, even the Kyrgyz and Russians realize that if the Americans do leave, then they have to bear all the costs and of defending the border. There would be a considerable security threat if the United States was suddenly to lift up stakes and go. In other words, kicking the Americans out of Manas would, you could make an easy argument that it would be against the interests of Russia and Kyrgyzstan to do so. So I believe that one way or another, the United States will be there as long as it wants to be there. I don't believe that the Pentagon planners have an idea of wanting a permanent military presence there, somewhat like what happened in the Philippines with Subic Bay. And even Subic Bay, the United States eventually left. But we're not talking decades from now. We'll have Americans at Manas. I think eventually, as soon as it's strategically viable to, the United States will leave.
All right. Well, Justin Burke, EurasianNet.org, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you very much for having me.